So part of the Proverbs series that we've been in, you know, focuses on a topic of wisdom. Bert has pointed out very well that wisdom is not Proverbs and Proverbs is not wisdom. But wisdom is a huge part of Proverbs, obviously. And when we think about wisdom, it's sort of like, you know, there's some other words in life that are sort of like key concepts that are germane to life that we think about, but sometimes we have a hard time defining them. Like if we look at, you know, the word love, okay, we talk about the word love, and somebody might say, well, I love Snickers bars, you know, I love the banana bread today, but yet they also say, I love Christ. Some people would say, I love my job. And so you might sit back and say, what is love? Like, how would you define love? You know, you look at the word truth. If you look at John 18:37-38, we have Christ saying, you know, here's the account of it. Pilate therefore said to him, so you are a king? Question mark. Jesus answered, you say correctly that I am a king. For this I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, to bear witness of the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. And Pilate said to him, what is truth? So you say, what is love? What is truth? There's other like key concepts of life like this that we think about. We've heard people say, you know, your truth is not my truth. So what does that mean? Jesus said, I am the truth. Okay?
John 17, I'm not sure which verse he says, sanctify them by the truth. Thy word is truth.
Right.
So that's truth.
That's truth. We look at wisdom, okay? Like, what actually is wisdom? You know, how would you define wisdom? One question I always like to ask, too, whenever we have classes or I'm teaching is, why are we even talking about this? And, like, what does it even matter? Okay? Sometimes we can have a habit in churches and pulpits to teach and to preach, and we're answering questions that have never been asked, or we're addressing things that people don't really care about. We might be talking about things that don't really pertain to their everyday life. But I would like to ask a question, like, why are we doing this? What are we talking about this for? So when it comes to wisdom, the reason I think it's so important is when we look at our lives, okay, whether it's our life in the church or our life just personally, you know, you hear all the different prayer requests you have every week, issues going on with people, relational issues, job issues, etc., etc. And when you stop and think about it, so much of what pertains to the challenges that we have in life can boil down to wisdom. I'm not saying wisdom is the answer to everything, but it is a key issue in life. So, you know, that's just really the main reason why I sort of wanted to camp on this. A few years ago, I was up at Tracy's parents live in Grayling. Anybody's familiar with Grayling, Michigan? It's about 3 hours north of here. They're on 5 acres out in the middle of the woods. It's a great little plot of land that they have. There's nothing around them. It's totally, you know, sticks. And they have this really nice porch that they have screened in out there so they don't get eaten by the flies and the bugs. And it's just like one of my favorite places to be. So like I typically, whenever I go up there, I'll go out there like, you know, 5 a.m. when everybody else is still sleeping. I'm sort of an early riser. So I'll go out there and sometimes it's, you know, 40, 45 degrees, 50 degrees, whatever, it's pretty cold. I'll have my robe on. I'll be all bundled up with my cup of coffee and I just sit there. And it's like I just love the quietness. Like you can hear a pin drop up there. And it's a great place to just sit and contemplate, to sit there and think, to meditate, to pray, to read, you know, whatever. And I've done that for years. So there was one time a few years ago where I was sitting on the porch, I'm drinking a coffee, and I might have read something, I don't know, Proverbs or something, but the word wisdom came up. And I got sitting there and I'm thinking, what is wisdom? Like, I sort of do that, like I wordsmith things and I think about things, and it's like, how would you actually define this? So I sat there and I thought about wisdom, and it's like, how, like, we sort of like know what we're referring to, just like we talk about truth, but how would you define it? Like, how would you write that out and define it? So I sat there and chewed on it, and I'm going to write on the board in a second what I came up with, which is not, by the way, this is a disclaimer, this is not like the definition of wisdom. It's just something that came to my mind, and what I want us to do today is chew on it. So so we can all collectively look at wisdom and say, where am I at, so to speak, on like the wisdom scale, you know, and all of us can answer that for ourselves. If a little, you know, sometimes kids, they ask really, really good questions, like, you know, people in the class with little, like, you know, Jen and Dan, they might have like little 4-year-olds, 5-year-olds, and all of a sudden, like, you know, mommy has a new baby or something, and the little kid's like that baby just like came out of mom. It's like, how did that happen? You know, and they're thinking like, you know, how does this stuff happen? So if some like little 5-year-old or whatever came up to you and said, hey, what is wisdom? What would you say? How would you answer that question? Take a shot.
Skillful use of God's truth.
Wow. Have you thought about that?
Yeah.
Okay.
A lot.
Okay. Okay. Skillful use of God's truth. Okay.
I've heard wisdom is knowledge rightly applied.
Okay. You guys are like ruining my lesson here. Eric.
I always said it was kind of a different word about it. I said wisdom is the practical application of knowledge.
Wisdom is the practical application of knowledge. More ruining of my lesson. Go ahead.
Following God's will.
Following God's will.
Or God's plan.
Okay. And by the way, a lot of this stuff is like all good. We're not, again, I'm not saying today that what we're going to do is we're going to like nail down wisdom and say, okay, we're all going to walk out of here with the definition of wisdom. That's not the point. The point is we're going to think about it because it's a tough concept. It's a deep concept. And hopefully we'll walk out of here saying, you know, here's what the components of wisdom are. Here's how wisdom operates. And so, you know, here's how it is in my life. Or maybe I walk out here and going, you know what, on this like scale of 1 to 10, I'm like a 1 on a wisdom scale, which is okay. That means we learned something today.
Can I read something from Ecclesiastes?
It's not a whole chapter, is it?
No.
Okay. Right. We have a limited time, but go ahead. Read it loud.
Wisdom is chapter 7, just 3 verses, 2.5 verses. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance. And that means a lot to us because, really, we have no earthly inheritance. I mean, it's really funny. That's one of the things that made us look this pop out to us. Wisdom is as good as an inheritance, yes. More excellent is it for those, the living, who see the sun. For wisdom is a defense. Even as money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom shields and preserves the life of him who has it. True wisdom is a strength to the wise man. I could not believe those verses. I have chewed on those for about 3 months. They're wonderful.
That's excellent.
It's money, it's a defense, mm-hmm. it's a shield, it's strength.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand it, but I think.
By the way, speaking of a defense and so forth, something we're going to talk about here in a little bit is a lot of what's wisdom, we talk about applying, we talk about the application, a lot of this has to do with doing, okay? But remember, a lot of doing is in not doing, okay? A lot of doing is in shutting your mouth or not going somewhere or whatever. It's not engaging in something, you know? So that is just as active. It's like the sins of omission and commission. That is just as active as doing something. So thanks for sharing that. And by the way, I just wanted to say, you know, we cite Proverbs, you know, 9:10 a lot. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's not actually the definition of wisdom. What that's saying is the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Okay? That's not the definition of wisdom. And then to further complicate the issue of, you know, wisdom, and Bert pointed this out really well. This was helpful. Wisdom, you know, we talk about wisdom, some things have been mentioned here about God and so forth, but the truth is there are unsaved people who are wise. There are unsaved people who exercise wisdom. What Bert brought out really well is that we need to understand there's a difference between horizontal wisdom and vertical wisdom. And that's a real key. Obviously, the horizontal wisdom does not fear the Lord per se. If you're unregenerate and you're still a wise person and you're dealing with people in wisdom, you are. But it's just from a principle perspective of being wise, being that you can understand wisdom to a degree because you're made in the image of God. So we need to note that. Okay. So while we in the church and we who are saved can fear the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom, and we do all these things that are scriptural based, which are wisdom based, which is great, the unsaved can still exercise some level of wisdom. We probably had bosses that are wise.
Go ahead. So it says the natural man that does the things of the law, because it shows that they were written on his heart, you know, I mean, because God in his providence has given some people their knowledge, because the creation speaks it forth.
Exactly.
And they see that, they act upon it.
Yep.
But that is not enough to make them saved, but it is enough to make them account.
Correct. Correct. Yeah, you can observe the creation and
realize,
react
hey,
to that.
You know something? If I poke myself in the eye with a stick, not a smart thing. So
yeah. Yeah. We're going to demonstrate this right now to just see what wisdom is really all about. So here's what I came up with on the porch up north, okay, when I was sitting here contemplating this and chewing on it. I came up with this. Wisdom is the, and I'm going to have to abbreviate this because I can't write all this out. It's the efficient application of morality, intelligence, and knowledge. Okay? Some of what you guys said is like really close to it, which like sort of could have ruined the lesson here, but that's what I came up with. What I want us to do is I want us to break up into, and this is just loose, okay, because I know the room's pretty full, but break up into five groups. Oh boy, how are we going to do this? One, two, three. How about if we do this? One, two, three. Okay. Everybody sitting back there in like the last two, let's say three rows, can you hover over at that table in the back? The next two rows here, hover over this table here. These two rows, hover over this table. And then you guys are a group. Okay, this table and you guys. And then those last two tables can be a group. Okay. What I want us to do is this. I had Tracy writing the board because her writing's better than mine. These two questions. I'm going to take 5 minutes for each group, and everybody is going to take a word. So we'll say this group is going to take the word efficient. Okay? That group is going to take the word application. So this is group number one, group number two. Okay? The group in the back over there is going to take this word, morality. You guys are going to take this word, intelligence, and you guys in the back are going to take the word knowledge, okay? I want you to take 5 minutes, huddle up, and try to not to do the two-person sidebars, okay? Let's have it be a group thing that's like everybody's listening to each other. But take 5 minutes and
Christians.
What's that?
Yeah, like Christians do.
Yeah, well, we're working on that. Take 5 minutes and answer these two questions, okay? Question number one is, what importance and impact does this word have to contribute to the overall definition? Okay, does that make sense? And then two, how would the definition of wisdom be different if this word was not there or if that word was omitted? So as an example, I could say wisdom is the efficient application of knowledge. And I leave out morality and I leave out intelligence. I could say wisdom is the application of morality, intelligence, knowledge. I leave off efficient. Do you see how it skews the definition? How it changes it? That's what I'm trying to get at here. What I want to hear is your feedback. I want the whole class to hear your feedback on the answer to these two questions. Like you say, hey, I'm table number one. I'm the word efficient. If I took this out, how would it change it? Like, think about that. And what is the importance and impact this word has on this statement? Two sides of a coin. Does that make sense? Is it too much on a Sunday morning? Everybody's sort of like going, I didn't bargain for this. Can you do that? Take 5 minutes and do that? And like I said, you guys split up into your areas. Go. So table one, you had the word efficient. And again, the whole purpose of this is to help us all collectively work on understanding what is wisdom, and if this is a loose definition, how does our input that we're going to receive here now impact all this? Okay? To help us better understand wisdom. So, what did you guys come up with for the word efficient? Why, like what's the importance in the definition, and what would happen if you took it out?
Well, we came up with the idea, that we are limited in our abilities, time, and limited in all our resources. And so if we weren't efficient, we would have less impact on people. We wouldn't be able to be effective. And basically the answer was that's the point of being efficient in all that we do.
Okay.
Of this is because if you think of the answer 10 minutes late, you have no impact because the opportunity is gone, because the opportunity is only there for a few minutes sometime.
Sure.
And so you're not effective in presenting wisdom if you're not.
Yeah, that's good. So again, the reason this word efficient is here is because wisdom to perform wisdom or to enact wisdom inherently implies there has to be some level of cognizance to efficiency, because if it's misplaced, it's out of time, it's a missed opportunity, etc. It becomes unwise. You know what's happening. So, anything else from the table over here in these couple rows?
What? That he just said it. What the waste? What the measure twice, cut once.
Okay.
No matter how many times I cut it, it's still too short.
Measure twice, cut once. Okay, table two, application. How would this be different if that word was not in here?
We argue it wouldn't exist. If you know what to do but don't do it at all and don't apply it, are you really wise? You know? Mm-hmm. So we kind of talked about how wisdom exists if you do apply it, or doesn't exist if you don't apply it. So there's kind of like a do or do not. And then we talked a little bit about to what degree do you apply it. And kind of like, okay, well, the Pharisees had all kinds of knowledge but seemed to apply it in a way that was stacking up burdens on people as opposed to doing what the law intended. And then talked about in the book of James a little bit how it says, like, faith without works is dead. Faith without action isn't really faith at all. So it kind of, like, fits to the same definition within this context.
Anything else? You guys good with your speaker? Okay. Thank you. Back table, morality. This is an interesting word in this whole mix.
Right, so the first thing we did is we clarified and defined morality as biblical morality. As one gentleman said, that you can have morality that's culturally driven, like cannibals who say it's okay to eat one another. So we think that needs to be clarified to biblical morality. And then we basically came up with the idea that if I don't apply morality to my wisdom, it's like a salesman, a shrewd salesman that can convince people to buy things that they don't want to. So that salesperson's colleagues would say, he's got a lot of wisdom, but really it's immoral what he's doing, you know, tricking people into buying stuff. Or even political leaders who we would say are wise, but really are leading the country in the wrong direction.
Okay.
So that was the impact. I think that kind of answered both of those, that, you know, you take morality out, it's, it can be very powerful, but for all the wrong reasons.
Okay. You guys good? Anything else? Okay. You guys had intelligence. How would this be different if intelligence was not in there? And what is the value of intelligence to this definition?
I drew a picture of the deeper.
We have no intelligence. So the next table.
It says, even a fool is considered wise and deemed intelligent when he keeps his mouth shut.
Which is what? Which is why we're moving on. Next. That's what we learned today. Keep your mouth shut. Did you have anything different than that?
It obviously applies to the Word of God and sagaciously.
Define that, please.
Wise like a sage.
Okay.
Sagaciously applying it to life. Skillfully. When you look up wisdom, it talks about skill and integrity in the application of the Word of God to all aspects of your life.
And the intelligence also kind of incorporates the first two words. Is that practical, efficient application of our knowledge of what we know to be right.
Okay. Good. Last one, knowledge.
Well, knowledge is kind of the base, it's the foundation. So your morality and your intelligence depends on what you know. So without knowledge, everything else is going to be stagnant. There's not going to be growth there. So it's going to kind of skew everything if you don't have the knowledge base.
You know, one thing that comes to mind when you said that is, you know, the Word of God says, speak the truth in love. And what we have sometimes is we have a lot of truth, which is knowledge, but we don't speak it in love. We beat people with it. And then we have other people, a lot of people in today's day and age, that are focused on love, but they don't bring truth to the table.
Right.
So it's basically pushy, mushy, principle-less love that really isn't based on knowledge.
It's not biblical love.
Correct. So that's good.
Which is dumb.
It's the Dave interpret the new Dave version is just dumb. Like Bert said, the word stupid is in Proverbs many times.
It's a biblical word.
Yeah. I mean, in our 10:8 verse, we have, you're a babbling fool. You're a babbling fool. I mean, God doesn't mince words. So I hope that was helpful to everybody to chew on that and to just think about that and hear the different feedback. Something else I thought about, too, is when you talk about this word efficient, okay, I thought you could sort of put under here balance, judgment, like proper judgment, okay? The Bible says, you know, judge sound judgment. Perspective, you could put perspective under here. You were talking about the timing and so forth. You could put perspective under efficient. You know, do you have a good perspective? Are you not efficient and you're just sort of like, you know, you're loose cannon, like, you know, you're flying all over the place. Another thing I thought about is under morality, intelligence, and knowledge, you could write the word discernment.
Right.
Okay, the Bible talks a lot about discernment. And you could sort of wrap that up into discernment as well.
That brings... I'll look it up and then I'll come back.
Okay. The other thing, too, and this sort of came up a little bit here and there, I don't know if you guys caught this, but intelligence and being smart is totally different than being wise. Okay? There's a lot of people, and our English sometimes is really poor. We're really lazy with how we say things, and words mean things, and we should be a little bit more clear. But how many of us know somebody in our family, our work, whatever? We say, that guy's really smart, and sometimes we'll say he's wise, when what he really is he's really smart.
Right.
Being really, really smart does not make you wise.
Amen.
Okay? Having a ton of knowledge does not make you wise. Go ahead.
Speaking of discernment, Hebrews 5, it says, speaking of milk and solid food, everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he's a child. But solid food or strong meat is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. So that's the meditation, the chewing on the pondering in your heart. Mm-hmm. The wisdom of the Word of God.
Right. I hope you all heard that. That is a great scripture and a great point, because when you said process, what's that?
Hebrews 5:11-14.
When he's talking about process there, and we talk about efficiency, this is something, not only can you learn all this, like over time, and you can improve in knowledge and intelligence, you can improve in efficiency. So you know what I did was like really stupid. You know, it's like next time around I need to be wiser and not do that, or do it this way. You know, that efficiency can be worked on. A verse that comes to mind too when I think about intelligence and being smart being totally different than wisdom is if you look at Matthew 16:26, as, and we've all heard this a million times, what does it profit a man? How many people do we know that are really, really smart? And they have a ton of knowledge and they're really intelligent. And they're going to lose their own soul.
Right.
Is that wise? Doesn't sound like it. Can you give any other examples of people that are really smart, but they're unwise? What comes to mind?
President Trump.
Next question.
Back to starting at Roberts, he had asked to kind of give examples, and Nancy brought up the example that, you know, she works with people that are, you know, very brilliant, yeah. They make a lot of money, but they have no ability to invest or
right.
to do things wisely. So, I mean, I think that's prevalent a lot.
Right, right. Are atheists really smart people sometimes?
Yeah.
Super smart. Are they wise?
No, not biblically wise.
Are those who build their house in the sand? They're great builders. They're smart. They're really smart. They make a ton of money and build all kinds of stuff. They're building on sand. Is that wise?
No.
One thing, just real quick, little story, and I'll tell this real quick and get off it. And I'm not dissing my own daughter, okay? It's just a funny little trivial story. I have two daughters, Heather and Holly. Heather just graduated from law school at George Washington, D.C. She's super smart. When she was in driver's training, and you know, I have the period of time where, like, the parents go drive with the kids and, you know, all that stuff. I'm driving with her. We're on Shaner. There's a little Michigan island in the middle, north of Hall Road. We're going to turn around the island, okay? We pull in the turnaround, and we're stopped. Well, there's a strip mall on the other side, okay? We're waiting for the cars to come out, and I don't know what happened, but I'm in the passenger seat. She's in the driver's seat. And all of a sudden, she proceeds to turn left. And this guy's coming out of the strip mall in his car, and he wasn't stopping, okay? And he's like, no. It's like, I'm going. So she turns left, this car comes out, and I'm like, it's ready to T-bone me. So, like, I lean over, I grab the wheel, and I'm like, bam, I jerk the wheel. I'm like, Heather, like, what are you thinking? Like, what are you doing, you know? She says, well, I had the right-of-way. I'm like, the right-of-way doesn't matter anymore
right.
when you're about to get T-boned.
That's right.
Okay? So really, really book smart, but, you know, not wise on the application. Okay? Here's some contrast, too, I wanted to share. I'm just going to read these. Intelligence and being smart come from the inherent capabilities in the brain and how God gifted you. Okay, like the IQ. Okay, that's inherent. Wisdom comes from applying our humble moral faculties. Intelligence and being smart can puff up the ego. We know a lot of people that are smart that are puffed up. Okay, just like Scripture says, knowledge puffs up. Wisdom causes a humbling of the soul. Intelligence and being smart can be misunderstood for being inherently wise. Wisdom forces one to ask for guidance from God. Okay, James 1:5, it was quoted earlier. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally. So when we walk out today, if we're like, man, it's like I need to really work on being wise. The first thing you should do is pray, because God will, he's promised to grant that. Proverbs 11:2, if we look at that real quick. Proverbs 11:2 says, when pride comes, then comes dishonor, but with the humble is wisdom. So there's a heart issue here.
And they're synonymous. Wisdom is humility. Humility is wisdom. In that context.
Mm-hmm. Right. So the point is, think about this. You cannot be prideful and wise
right.
at the same time. That's the point. The two don't coexist. You could look at Proverbs 11, by the way, chapter 11, if you ever feel like it. Look at Proverbs chapter 11, and you can literally create a ledger of, like, do this, don't do this. That's the value of Proverbs, by the way. It's, like, super straightforward and simple. There's a lot in chapter 11 where you can just say, do this, don't do that. If you ever want to do that, it'd be a good little study. Yes.
And this may not even be related, but I was thinking, how does discipline play into having wisdom?
Yeah.
Because we can be effective, we can have all those things,
yep.
but we're not disciplined enough to do them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Then there's no wisdom.
Yeah, I would put discipline, I've thought about that, I would put discipline under this right here. That's a really good other, like, sub-word of this point here, is being disciplined. There again, everybody, I'm just being honest with you. Like, we have a serious discipline deficiency in the church. Serious discipline
skilled.
Deficiency.
Wouldn't skilled also be there to
you could.
Be efficient?
Yep.
Because if you're skilled, you're going to be efficient.
You could. Tony?
Shouldn't, in your definition, the word truth be in there somewhere? You can have morality that's based on lies, intelligence, like evolution isn't a genius based on lies and knowledge. It's all lies.
Yeah, you could. I would just throw truth under knowledge, you know. And again, this is a working definition, so make whatever you want out of it. Good.
When you made the statement, we have a serious problem with discipline within mm-hmm. Christianity or the church.
Mm-hmm.
I'll speak from experience here. That's absolutely true and correct. And in my life, I'm ashamed to say that that's been a big part of it when it comes to studying to show myself approved, 2 Timothy 2:15. I've been a Christian for 31 years. And just starting this year, I got serious about spending time in the Word of God. And it has dramatically changed
mm-hmm.
my understanding and knowledge and wisdom of the Word of God. It took me 31 years to get disciplined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, discipline is huge. I'd almost love to do like a whole series on discipline. Because I sort of think we're swimming in lack of discipline. And I don't think we even know how to be disciplined, quite frankly, in a lot of regards.
Specifically for me, it had to do with what I do with my time. How much time do I spend listening to radio or music
mm-hmm.
on Facebook or YouTube? Wasting time, TV,
yep.
versus time in the Word.
Yep.
Just dramatically alter that. Instead of 10 minutes with the Word, put 10 minutes with the radio.
Yeah.
And hours with the Word.
And by the way, obvious question here, softball. What is the most valuable commodity we have in life? Time. So, Brent, did you have some?
Brandon.
Oh, Brandon, sorry. The one without the glasses.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting what he says because, you know, in my own personal life, I think that to be disciplined, if you find yourself not doing what you know you should be doing, then discipleship, real discipleship, where you're spilling it all out and you're saying, brother, help me because I want this in my life, but I'm lacking the ability to do it. You know, like James says, you know, if you know the right thing to do and you can't do it, it's sin.
Right.
That's right.
So you're sinning.
Right.
And, you know, I think that's one of the biggest things. I mean, like, I sit in a group for men's, you know, purity on Thursday nights, and there's nobody in there for like 3-4 months. And I'm just waiting to disciple somebody, anybody. You know, because I know that there's people out there that are struggling.
Sure.
And the Lord has delivered me, and I want to help others, but nobody wants to get real. Nobody wants to, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it's like, I want to disciple. I want to open up. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things that we lack, like you're saying, in the church.
Right, right. And with a broad brush, I'll use the term fellowship, discipleship. Those things, really, to your point, iron sharpens iron. And those things are really valuable. And when we don't do that, we live isolated, we lose that value.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah.
Tell me this. How do these quotes relate to wisdom? We've heard this from C.T. Studd. Only one life to live will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. And then one more. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's Jim Elliot. How do those relate to wisdom?
Perspective.
Okay. How so?
Well, the right perspective.
Okay.
Right? I mean, that's what they're talking about, how they're approaching life.
Brandy?
Value, what you
place
value on.
Okay.
Make that a
reality. Okay.
Jen? Something like you just said made me think of a quote by C.S. Lewis. It says, the next best thing to being wise oneself is to live in a circle of those who are.
Right.
So putting yourself in a path of people who are wise.
Sure. Yep.
Pass on.
Okay. Here's what I thought. One reason, and what you said is accurate, okay, I think, but one reason I think these pertain to wisdom is they have an eternal perspective.
Yeah.
They have an eternal perspective.
Up treasures in heaven.
Right.
Which is going to affect your eternity.
When Christ said, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What is that man not thinking about?
Eternity.
So I think about eternity. We've all seen this little, you know, dot and line analogy. Okay, people living for the dot versus living for the line. It's an eternal perspective. I'll skip that. So just in closing, because we're going to wrap up here, I guess the main thing that I would say is that we can work on this stuff all day long. We can think about wisdom all day long. We can talk about it. We can study it. And that's another thing I think that we have a little bit of a problem of in the church, especially studious churches like Cornerstone. We're really good, man, at doctrine and theology and principles and truth. And that is really, really good. Okay? But here's the problem. If we just focus and live on having this and having this and having head knowledge, but it never goes from our head to our heart, we cannot be wise. So the thing to understand here really is that when we talk about wisdom, and somebody said, I think Marty said earlier, it's all in the application of what God has given us. Okay, whether it's knowledge, it's intelligence. You know, I might be one of the dumbest guys in this room, to be honest with you, from a smarts perspective. But I try to use what God gave me. And it's like, it's the same thing. Everybody needs to use what God gave you. Heather?
It's more of a question, but like, doesn't it kind of all go back to where that whole section where it talks about you can have all these things, but without love, you have nothing, right? So you can have all the head knowledge and that, but the love has to drive what we do for
Right. And when we talk about love, we're talking obviously about the heart.
Right.
And when we talk about wisdom, we have to talk about the heart. There's no such thing as talking about wisdom all up here.
Right.
All we've talked about is smarts and knowledge. Okay? We are drowning in knowledge. We are drowning in information. Okay? We've got book smarts up one side and down the next. And if we aren't taking it and efficiently applying it in what we do and what we don't do, we don't have wisdom. All we have is a head full of knowledge, you know. So, a couple last things here. You know, James 2, and I think Dave said this earlier, show me your faith by what you say, and I'll show you my faith by what I do. Okay? Bonhoeffer, has anybody read The Cost of Discipleship? Raise your hand. Anybody? Highly, 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 highly recommend that book. Okay? He has a quote. Listen to this. Only those who believe obey, and only those who obey believe. The point is, it's in the doing, it's in the obeying,
right,
that we are proving who we are, and you cannot prove that you have wisdom by saying what you know. Right. The only way you can prove you have wisdom is by letting wisdom be revealed in the proving out of itself. Okay, so it's in the doing and the application of wisdom. So, that's all I got. Go ahead.
Great verse says that wisdom, it says wisdom is known of her children. I think this.
Yeah.
I think it's wisdom is known of her
and what it produces.
Yeah. Isn't that good?
Yeah. It's the word of God too.
You can make these decisions early in your life, and then the wisdom is shown later in life too.
Right. Dave.
And in Bob Johnson's lingo, it's faith-driven obedience, which begets more faith, which gives you more ability to obey, and it's just a vicious upward spiral.
Right.
And then when you're talking about doctrine and application, it's in the Puritans' lingo, it's light and heat. Specifically, Jonathan Edwards talks about light and heat in religious affections. Well worth investing your time in studying that. It's difficult, but that's how you grow. Mm-hmm. When you read stuff that's way above you, you say, holy smokes, I don't understand this. Mm-hmm. So you pray a lot, and then God gives you the ability to comprehend what these really smart dead guys are saying.
Yeah. The wisdom lives on. And by the way, to his point, I want to go back to Brandon's point, which is really, really important. There needs to be more fellowship in the church. There needs to be more iron sharpening iron. Okay. There needs to be more biblical fellowship talking about these things. Okay. Bernie.
Well, since I became a Christian, I used to just in a group and just babble along with everybody else. But since I've become a Christian, I have learned to think about what you're thinking about before you speak.
Yeah. That's wisdom.
Exactly.
It takes years.
She's saying as a Christian, she's learned to think before she speaks.
Think about what you're thinking about before you speak.
Okay. Okay.
Otherwise, use the golden zipper.
Use the golden zipper. Okay. Bernie's golden zipper. Are there any other thoughts or comments, questions, Sue?
Just real quick, and in my own personal life, it doesn't get from my head to my heart unless I humble myself.
Yeah.
And James says, God gives grace to the humble and
evil. That's right.
Yes, exactly.
Opposes the proud.
Yep. So again, what is so critical to wisdom is humility in the heart and seeking God for it. Let's go ahead and close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, I just thank you so much for this discussion today and this time. Lord, we need to be more wise. I pray that you would give us wisdom, Lord, that we would apply it for you as your representatives in everything that we do. God, I pray that everybody here individually would go home and just think about their own and my own, for me, level of wisdom or lack thereof. God, please help us to be more wise, that we might honor you more. Not that we might be smart and regarded in any certain way, but that you might be able to use us in your kingdom for your glory. And if we're not wise, you can't. So, Lord, we just ask that you would give us wisdom by the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.